Today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, which is the Feast of the Holy Spirit. And it gives us an opportunity to reflect on the Holy Spirit in our life, the Spirit that we have had since our baptism, but which was impressed upon us in a special way at our confirmation. And actually, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that when we're confirmed, we receive the same grace that the apostles received at Pentecost, which is pretty amazing because that's very powerful grace that those apostles received at Pentecost. It changes them from fearful, cowardly men to bold, brave proclaimers of the gospel. So if we've been confirmed, that grace is ours too, even though those gifts may be lying latent within us, we have those gifts. So today's a great day to ask God for that gift of the Holy Spirit that we really need, that especially that specific gift, that specific struggle that we have. So I guess today I want to talk about how do we discern whether it's the Holy Spirit that's working on us or the spirit of the evil one, because the evil one is constantly at work on us and wants us to act according to the evil spirit's ways, accomplishing the evil spirit's work. But the Holy Spirit wants us to accomplish God's work. So how do we discern whether it's the Holy Spirit motivating us, inspiring us, or whether it's the evil spirit or merely our own ego that's motivating and inspiring us? So I just want to take a few signs of the Holy Spirit that we see in our readings today to help us to be able to discern the spirits that are working on us. In our first reading today, we have the story of Pentecost, and a couple important signs happened there. First of all, there was the visible sign of the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles with the tongue of fire landing on each apostle. But then the apostles began to speak. What's amazing about this is that Jerusalem at the time was filled with pilgrims from all over, and they would have spoke all different languages and wouldn't have been able to understand each other. Yet, when the apostles were speaking that day, all of the foreigners heard the apostles and understood them as if they were speaking their own language. So there was a miracle that occurred that day. And we see how it was a sign of the unity that God was going to establish in his church through the Holy Spirit. So that it's really a foretaste of the church. So the church exists in all different countries, all across the world, in many different languages and cultures, but it's one creed that we all profess. It's one mass that we celebrate, one set of sacraments that we believe in, whether we're Catholics from Ethiopia or India or Italy or Glencoe, Minnesota. So that's the first sign of the Holy Spirit. I just want to point out the sign of unity. And this is helpful for us when we have to discern whether it's the Holy Spirit who's working on me or whether it's the evil one who's working on me or just my own ego. We all have differences with one another. Every family experiences this. Differences within the family. The church is a family, so we're going to have differences. We're going to have disagreements with one another. The apostles had disagreements with one another. We see that in the Acts of the Apostles. They disagreed about certain things. What did they have was love for each other, which allowed them to strive for unity. And actually, one of the things that the apostles did, realizing that there were disagreements between them, is they held what we call the Council of Jerusalem. It's the first ecumenical council. The apostles got together to discuss the things that they were disagreeing about. And they decided, or they believe the Holy Spirit revealed to them collectively how they were supposed to move forward. So there ended up being unity and concord because they were having dialogue. They were having a conversation about it. This is a big focus of Pope Francis, actually, and the reason why he's called a synod on synodality. Maybe you've heard of that. It's this year and next year. Pope Francis wants us to have a church that listens to one another, that wants to come to a greater unity through dialogue. So I guess if we are doing the work of discernment in our life, sometimes we feel this desire for unity, this desire for dialogue, to listen to each other. And that would be a sign of the Holy Spirit who calls us to a greater unity. But sometimes we experience the opposite, the temptation towards division. And that's what the evil one wants. The evil one wants us to be divided from one another. So we definitely experience this temptation today, and I especially see it in the political discourse of the day, when our political leaders have legitimate, important disagreements with each other. But a lot of times, instead of having a dialogue or even an argument on how to pursue the truth or what's the common good for our nation's citizens, they instead demonize each other. And so instead of talking to each other, they talk about one another publicly, often in very disrespectful ways. Name-calling, launching personal attacks against another. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. So if we see our political leaders doing that, we know that it's not the Holy Spirit motivating them when they launch personal attacks, call each other names. It's not good. It's very bad. Because the Holy Spirit strives for a unity. And how do we arrive at unity? It's respect for one another, appreciating the dignity of the person with whom I disagree, having a dialogue with that person. It's very important that we stand up for the truth, but that we do so in a way that doesn't denigrate the person in front of us, but respects them and desires to listen to their point of view so that we can come to a greater unity. So I think that's the first sign of the Holy Spirit we see in our readings today, the sign of unity. A second would be from our gospel. Our gospel is taken from after the resurrection of Jesus, when he appears to his disciples and he does something incredible. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Of course, he's talking to the remaining 11 apostles here. And the church has always believed that this is where Jesus establishes the sacrament of reconciliation. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. But it's interesting how Jesus, in order to forgive sins, first gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, which tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that allows for the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit that brings about the forgiveness of sins. And so we see another sign of the Holy Spirit, and that sign is forgiveness. So this is a really good way for us, again, to do a discernment of spirits. What are the spirits that are working on us? When we hold on to grudges, when we foster bitterness and resentment towards those who have hurt us, when we refuse to put the past behind us, we can be pretty sure that it's not the Holy Spirit that we're listening to. But instead, it's the spirit of the evil one who, again, wants us to be divided, and in order to do so, is going to cultivate that sense of indignation that we can feel towards others who have offended us, this sense of my rights have been violated, pitting us against one another. So really important that we recognize that in our life. If I desire good for those who have hurt me, if I'm willing to put the past behind us, if I desire reconciliation, healing, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we've been hurt so badly that there can remain a lot of pain and grief. And so we might not feel any goodwill towards the person who's hurt us in the past. But what might the sign of the Holy Spirit be in that case? Maybe it's the desire to feel goodwill, the desire to have goodwill towards this person that's healed or hurt me, the desire to have healing, the desire to be able to put the past behind me. So this is usually the start of the forgiveness process. Like, I don't feel goodwill towards this person who's healed me right away, but I start to have the desire to have goodwill towards this person. I don't feel healing, but I desire to have healing. I don't feel reconciled with this person, but I desire it. I desire the reconciliation. So those desires then can be a sign of the Holy Spirit, even towards one who's hurt us very badly. So a third sign of the Holy Spirit is found in that same gospel. It's actually the first thing that Jesus says to the apostles when he meets up with them again. I think this is such a beautiful scene because it's the first words that Jesus would have spoken to his apostles since his suffering and death. And we know what happened when Jesus was arrested. He was also betrayed and abandoned by his friends, these very apostles who now encounter him in the upper room. What's Jesus's first words to his apostles? Well, it's maybe not what we would expect them to be. The first words that I would say to my friends who betrayed and abandoned me. Jesus doesn't say, "I'm so disappointed in you." There's no shaming going on here. He's not resentful towards them. He's not frustrated with them. But instead, what's the first word that he says towards his apostles who betrayed and abandoned him? It's peace. Peace be with you. So we see how Jesus, we just talked about forgiveness being a mark of the Holy Spirit, but it's the peace of Jesus that brings about this reconciliation and forgiveness. So we see that peace spoken by Jesus, breathed by Jesus, we could say, is another sign of the Holy Spirit. Peace. That's a really important sign of the Holy Spirit. We can say then that the opposite of peace would be not the Holy Spirit, but rather often the evil spirit working on us. So when we feel like there's a spirit of anxiety, I'm living in a spirit of anxiety or fear, which would be the opposite of peace, when I'm living in a spirit of anger, agitation, that would be a sign of not the Holy Spirit, but a sign of the evil spirit. Peace is the gift that the Spirit brings. It's really important that we try to recognize when we're experiencing this, because then we can know who's motivating us, and we can decide not to make a decision out of those feelings we know are not from the Holy Spirit, and to wait for when we do feel the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's effects before making a decision. So as an example of this, I remember when I was fairly newly ordained priest, I had a priest friend of mine who was going through a very difficult time at his Catholic school. And there was kind of a uproar amongst the faculty, and the faculty asked to have a meeting with the priest. And at this meeting. Apparently, I wasn't at the meeting, but apparently it was a very ugly meeting. The priest, there were many things that were said that were really hurtful to my priest friend. And he walked out of that meeting feeling really attacked and upset. So the next morning I get a call from him and he says, "I didn't sleep at all last night. I tossed and turned. I was so restless. I couldn't stop thinking about those words that they said to me, those accusations and attacks that were all lies." And he said, "I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna call a meeting today and I am gonna let them have it. They have no right to treat me that way." And I said to him, "Don't do it." And then I just said, "You're not making this decision out of peace. You're not making this decision out of the Holy Spirit, but instead out of agitation, anger. And that's not of the Holy Spirit." So we can avoid a lot of missteps in our life if we learn to act out of the Holy Spirit and reject what the evil spirit wants, how the evil spirit wants us to be acting. So thankfully, this priest friend of mine didn't call a meeting and let everybody have it, but instead he waited. He waited a few days, he prayed. He had to address what was going on because it was pretty serious things, but he waited till he felt a sense of peace. He had to have some difficult conversations, but he was able to do that from a place of peace, from a place of love, which is a sign of the Holy Spirit, a place of unity, and not out of agitation and anger. So good for us to hear, so important for us to hear. One of my favorite scripture passages describes the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's St. Paul, Galatians 5, verse 22. This is what he says. He lists the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He says, "The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." If that's what the Spirit like that's that what the Spirit is like that's motivating us, if this is what's in our heart, peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, we can be assured that the decisions we make out of that place are of the Holy Spirit. But when our heart is filled with the opposite of all of that, we have to be very careful not to act out of that place, because it's going to take us in the wrong direction. It's going to lead us towards disunity. It's going to keep us in unforgiveness. It's only going to lead to less peace and not more. So this Pentecost Sunday, let's again not hesitate. Let's do it, each of us. I did it during my prayer this morning. I told the Lord the grace that I most needed in my life from the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit I most needed. I shared that with that today with the Lord. I'm praying for that grace today. Let's all do that too. What's the one thing we really need in our heart from the Holy Spirit at this point in our life? We all need something, probably many things, but what's one thing we can ask the Holy Spirit today? Let's be so confident in God's love that he really wants to bless us today on this feast of his Holy Spirit. Be so confident that the Lord wants to help us to make decisions in our life by being able to discern the evil spirit from the Holy Spirit.